And don't forget homecoming. Just a few weeks away now. Not very long at all. And September 21st, homecoming day. We used to say service all day long and dinner on the ground. Well, there was a time we did have dinner on the ground. And I remember when I first came here in that little stucco building back there where it used to be. And we had wagons down here underneath this big oak tree. Because that oak tree's been gone for years now. We had wagons laid out down there with food on it. Had a few picnic tables down here at the bottom. And we call it dinner on the ground. Well, we got a little better facilities now. So we'll have dinner in the fellowship hall. Amen. Thank God for His divine mercy and goodness to us. I remember in that old stucco building, you get a crowd in there and it would get so hot. I mean, they had two big air conditioners, but when you get so many people in there, that those type of air conditioners didn't help a whole lot. But, boy, hadn't times changed. We got cushioned pews, carpeted floors, air conditioning. Now, I like it. If I want to go back to the old sawdust days, go ahead, but I'm going to stay right here. Amen. I appreciate the mercies of God. You can be turning in your Bibles to a verse of Scripture that I went back in the archives and pulled this verse out of all my stuff. And been years since I've addressed this subject. If you've been around here a while, you might remember. And you that haven't been here for a while, you won't know the difference. So in Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 1, just going to read verse 1 tonight, just one verse. Amen. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread, wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Amen. You may be seated. I trust that the Lord will help us tonight with these verses. I was reading in some of my notes that I had put back for years, and I came across these quotes from Brother David Gibbs. Does anybody here remember David Gibbs, that lawyer, preacher, lawyer? Awesome, awesome man. I've got several CDs by him. I've got one CD by him. I wouldn't take anything for her. He's such a knowledgeable man. But this has been a few years ago, and I'm sure the statistics has changed considerably since then. Probably these that I'm getting ready to read to you are reversed. He said only 56% of Americans realize that people who do not accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior cannot go to heaven. 56% of Americans. Then he said 44% think that everybody will go to heaven when they die. My opinion, that's probably reversed now. Probably 56% think everybody's going to heaven. 44% just, are y'all still with me? I know, what's that got to do with the text that you read? You'll find out. And then he went on to say only 36% believe that the Bible is the literal Word of God. 64% do not believe in the Bible. We're talking about Americans. And he said only 15%. You're just in time, Zane. Amen. He said only 15% attend church a few times a year. 85% of Americans do not attend church at all. Now, it seems like to me we need a revival in America.
Yes, sir.
This verse that I read to you tonight in Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 1, in that day seven women shall take a hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread, wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name, take away our reproach. The reality is that verse in that fourth chapter should be a part of the preceding chapter and the very climax of the ruin that brought Zion. They committed so much sin and so much wickedness in Israel that it's almost unbelievable that such a people that at one time was God's chosen people that his blessing rested upon. Now in this verse, they're in such ruin because of their wickedness and sin. I want you to notice in this verse that I've read to you, the course of nature is inverted. That means it's turned upside down. And that's the ruin that sin always works. Sin always turns things upside down. Ordinarily, and I guess I'm to some people I'm an old fogey, but it's okay. I don't mind, at all. Don't mind at all. But when I was young, men courted the ladies. I mean, they wooed them. They done their best to get their attention and court them. But now, and I'm seeing this in our time right now. You don't have to wait till 10 years from now. Amen. The women now are chasing the men. I lost y'all right there. Now, in a spiritual sense, let's put this in a spiritual sense tonight, if the Lord will help us for a while. God, in his word in the Old Testament and New Testament, has typified the relationship between Christ and the church as that of husband and wife. Amen. Y'all still with me? Amen. It has always been, God's always made the relationship as husband and wife as between Christ and the church. Especially read in the book of Ephesians, you'll find that's true. Amen. And even in Corinthians, that worldly church that Paul wrote to, amen, he talked about the relationship of the husband and the wife. Amen. Now I want us to look at this verse that I've read to you tonight. These women said to this one man, take away our reproach. Now, I can't help it. I can't help it. I'm just old-fashioned, if you let me say it like that. Amen. I don't believe in just shacking up. Hello. There's no legal, amen, bond there between a man and a woman when they just live together outside the bonds of matrimony. It's that bonding and that legal, are y'all still with me? That legal paper, if you want to say that, and that legal, amen, document or that legal ceremony that makes a husband and a wife. Anything beside that is just a man and a woman. Amen. But God wants his church, amen, to be in subjection to him. Amen. He is the head of the body. Now, these women said, take away our reproach. There is no legitimacy, amen, without his name. I don't care how long you live together. As a man and a woman, you live together from, amen, for 40 years, but that doesn't make you a man, a husband and a wife. I lost y'all. Amen. The legitimacy comes when there is a ceremony, amen, and the preacher asks you, do you, and you say, I do. Amen. And that makes the husband and the wife. Amen. I want the Lord to help me here. And I've known some situations in life that, amen, two people, man and woman, lived together for years. Amen. And then when he might have died, and all of a sudden she realizes she's out in the cold because there is no marriage there. Come on here. There's no legality there. There's no, amen. She might have been his girlfriend. They might have had sexual relations and all that goes with it. But if there's no, come on here, amen. If there's no ceremony and no legality there, she is not his wife. Right. And when he dies, amen, the property that he has does not go to her. No matter if they live together 40 years. Because there's not that legality. And that's what these women were saying. Amen. I want your name. We'll provide our own things. Help me here. Yes, sir. Amen. We'll provide our own food. Right. We'll provide our own clothing. Right. Right. We'll provide our own everything. All we boy, I'm going to get touchy here tonight. Amen. All we want is your name. Amen. They did not want a relationship. They did not want, amen, that full experience with God. All they wanted was the legality of his name. Amen. And I see that in the church world today. Amen. All they want is to be able to say, amen, I believe in Jesus. Amen. They don't want a relationship. They just, come on here. They just want to say, I'm a Christian. Never change their lifestyle. Never change their what they're doing, how they're living, where they're going, what they're drinking. Come on here. Never change anything. All they want to do is be able to go to a church and say, amen, I went to church and sang Amazing Grace. Amen. But that does not make you, amen, that relationship with God that you've got to have, amen, to get into heavens when you leave out of this world. There's got to be that personal commitment. There's got to be that personal relationship with God. You can, come on here, you can put your name on every church book from, amen, in the whole county of Rappahannock. You can be baptized in every creek and river and pond between here, amen, and the Mississippi River, but that does not make you a Christian. You can go to church, amen, any place, anywhere, but that does not make you a Christian. There's got to be a personal relationship between you and God. There's got to be some point in time that you can point back to and say it at an altar of prayer. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and the Lord of my life. I want to tell you, amen, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Amen. He must be, amen, the head of your life. Your life ought to be wrapped up in Christ. Every time you get out of bed in the morning, you ought to say, Jesus, amen, help me today to serve you and to live for you and be pleasing in your sight. There's got to be that personal relationship in your life that has changed your desires, changed your motives, changed your purpose, changed your intentions, changed your lifestyle, change about everything about you, amen, in order to go to heaven when you die. Hey. Somebody say amen. Hey, amen. We live in a generation now. Woo, help me here. Amen. The neo-Pentecostals and the charismatics and the Calvinists, amen, they just want, all they want is his name. Right. That's all. I go to church. Amen. And I believe in Jesus. Never changed nothing about their person. Never changed nothing about their life. And as a result, amen. Come on here. Am I doing all right here? Amen. They did not want a relationship. All they wanted was his name. They just want to be saved. Amen. I don't y'all fall out with me here. I remember years ago, amen, that guy who wore black all the time, Johnny Cash. Amen. Does anybody here remember Johnny Cash? You got to be old, I know. Amen. Amen. He was a honky-tonk singer. He really was, and he could sing. He strummed that old flat-top guitar. Amen. And he could sing. Don't you ever think Johnny Cash couldn't sing? He had more blues and more sad stories to sing about than you can imagine. Amen. Come on here. Amen. I remember, this has been back a few years ago when he was living. He was still honky-tonking, amen, and playing in the bars and places. And he said he became a Christian, said he got saved. Amen. And that was when it was popular to be a Christian. Amen. Everybody was becoming Christians. Movie stars said they was Christians. Amen. The drunkard said he was a Christian. Everybody was a Christian. And Johnny said, Cash said, I'm a Christian. But he never changed his life. He still went to the honky-tonks. He still drank his booze. Amen. He still lived the same old life that he did before. Amen. He just got, all he wanted was his name. Amen. Just to be popular. Just so he could say, I go to church. Amen. Once a year. That's all he was interested in. But I want to tell you, to be really be saved and go to heaven when you die, there's got to be a change in your heart. Somebody say, praise the Lord. All they wanted was his name. And I want to tell you, amen, the book of Genesis chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Amen. We're not going to turn over and read it. You can if you want to. The Bible said that God called the both of them Adam. It was brother Adam and sister Adam. I lost y'all right there. Read it. What the Bible said. Genesis chapter 5. Amen. God called the name of them both Adam. Amen. It was brother Adam and sister Adam. Amen. And this generation which we're living now, amen. I hear young people talking about, amen, maybe, amen, living together, but she wants to keep her maiden name. Come on here. Amen. And he keep his name. Amen. She'll have her bank account and he'll have his bank account. That marriage is heading for a divorce. It does not work that way. Amen. When she stands before the preacher and says, I do. Amen. It is no longer Susie Q. It is Sister John. What's his name? Smith. Praise God. Amen. Hey, praise God. That's just the way it is in the spirit world. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. The blood of Jesus has washed you clean. Amen. You no longer belong to self. You no longer belong to the devil. You no longer belong to the flesh. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things pass away. And behold, all things become new. Amen. My relationship with him, amen, is brand new. Praise God. Now, I found this article several years ago. I'd have to go back and find out where I got it from, but I think I remember. But the counterculture revolution that took place in America in the 1960s. Some of y'all wasn't even born then. Amen. But there was a counterculture revolution that took place. There wasn't a shot fired. Amen. That nobody came into this country, amen, and held a gun at people's head and said, do this. But there was a counterculture revolution that took place in the 1960s spiritually. Amen. And from that 1960s revolution, it produced what was called then the Jesus People movement. Amen. And that was closely followed by the Charismatic movement. Amen. Both of those cultures were counterculture compared to the standard that the church had lived before those years and times. Amen. The church of the Lord has always been separate from the world. Always has been. Amen. Church has always been a holy people, godly people, sanctified people. Amen. But both of these cultural movements that came in the 1960s and 70s changed the mindset of people. The Jesus People, amen, movement introduced what was a so-called Christian rock music. I want to tell you, there's nothing Christian about rock music. Look at excuse the vernacular here, look at them idiots in their pictures. Amen. Come on here. They don't look anything like Jesus. They don't look anything like godly people. Am I doing all right here? Amen. Then the Charismatic movement convinced the church world that worldliness is acceptable. Amen. They espoused a freedom that had no boundaries whatsoever. Everything now becomes legal and acceptable. Live any kind of way you want to. Amen. Amen. I was raised a good part of my life in the Assembly of God Church. Amen. My daddy pastored over at Leesburg for a number of years. Amen. And established that Assembly of God Church. I got saved in that church. Amen. I filled with the Holy Ghost in that church. Y'all still with me? Amen. I called to preach in that church. Praise God. Amen. But those years, those people, amen, preached and lived the same way that we're preaching and living now. Amen. Come on here. We haven't changed, but it's amazing how the boundaries of religion in America, amen, even in churches that we came out of, has so changed. Amen. With time, we found our own people doing things and going places, amen, they would never even discussed about prior to, amen, the 1960s and 70s. Amen. The church, come on, are y'all still with me? Amen. The church only wanted his name. They only wanted to be called Christian. Amen. But Jesus wanted more, amen, than just that kind of a friendship. He wanted a relationship with his people. Amen. He wanted more than these seven women wanted. Amen. He wants a commitment out of you. Amen. I remember when I was growing up in Corton, praise God, and help me here. Amen. If another good-looking dude could get my girlfriend, I said, have at it, friend, because if she'll leave me, amen, for you, she'll leave you when some other dude comes along. I lost y'all. Amen. There's got to be a commitment to God. Amen. And as soon as people go to church, amen, all they want is a good feeling or an emotional high. And all they're looking for is his name. But when you get down to talking about living right and living wholeness, amen, and doing what's right, living according to the teachings of the scripture, amen, they'll leave you and go somewhere else. I understand that. Amen. But Jesus wants a commitment out of your life. He wants more than these seven women wanted. All they wanted was his name. But he wants to bring gifts. He wants to provide for his bride. Praise God. Amen. Healing is your children's bread. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Y'all ever heard of the term husband? Amen. Ah, yeah. The word husband come from an old Anglo-Saxon,
amen, word that means house band. That means he has, amen, the house right around him in his arms. His wife is his. His children is his. His house is his. Come on here. Amen. He's got the house and the home brought together. And so it is with Christ. Amen. He wants a commitment out of us that we're going to live for him, be true to him, serve him. Amen. With all of our hearts. Amen. And as a result of that commitment, he'll provide everything you need. Amen. Isaiah 61 and 10 said, amen, he'll give us garments of praise. Amen. Robes of righteousness. Praise God. He'll feed us as the bread of life. He'll give us the water of life. He'll provide everything that you need. Somebody said, the church is not giving me what I need. It's because that you never made a personal commitment. Amen. When you make that personal commitment and relationship with Christ, there's a change that takes place, and you find out that he takes care of everything in your life. Amen. He'll feed you spiritual manna. He'll feed you wonderful bread. Amen. On the sign out here, the church sign, amen's hungry, question mark. Amen. Jesus is the bread of life. Amen. I want to tell you, he'll feed you. He'll take care of you. Amen. He'll strengthen you when you're weak. He'll heal your body when you're sick. Amen. That comes as a fact that he, amen, is our heavenly Father. He's the head of the church. He takes care of the body. We are his people. We are bone of his bone. We are flesh of his flesh. And we belong to him. Somebody say praise the Lord. I remember, how many of y'all remember reading the book of Esther? Quite a book. If you've never taken time to read the book of Esther, you ought to. Amen. When the king Ahasuerus was looking for a wife or a bride, amen, and all of these young ladies were lined up, prospective bride of the king. Amen. And when the king's right-hand man would come by, he'd fix them like he knows the king would want them to be fixed. Come on here. He dressed them like he knew the king personally. He knew what the king liked. Amen. In a bride. And he would fix them, and then he'd ask them a question. You want to change anything? Do you look in the mirror? Amen. You don't like the way you look? I fixed you like I know the king wants you to be fixed. You have the option. You can change your appearance. You can change your clothes. You can change the way you fixed your hair. You can change your, amen, anything the way I fixed you if you want to. Amen. And they did. But when it came to Esther, amen, he fixed her like he knew the king would like for her to look. He dressed her in the clothes he knew the king liked. Amen. He fixed her hair just right. Amen. And when she looked in the mirror, amen, the chamberlain said, is there anything you want to change? Amen. Change anything you want to about your appearance. And when she looked, she said, I've never been so beautiful in my life. I just think I'll stay the way I am. I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost is God's right-hand man. He knows what heaven wants. He knows what God wants. He knows what Jesus wants for a bride. And he'll fix you just like he knows God wants you to be fixed. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Amen. And when you look in the glass, you can change your life. Amen. If you want to. And a lot of people are these days. Amen. They don't want the old time way. They don't want holiness. They don't want godly living. Amen. They don't want a changed person. Amen. They're changing their lifestyle. But after a while, the trumpet's going to sound. And the Lord's going to appear. Praise God. And they that are dead in Christ shall rise. And I want to be just like he wants me to be.
I got to hurry. Time's wasting. Y'all remember in Matthew chapter 25.
story of the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. 5 had, they all had lanterns. 5 had oil in their vessels. Other 5 did not. Now I want you to notice something about that story. 5 foolish virgins were not friends of the bridegroom. They were only friends of the bride. Hello? They didn't know who the bridegroom was. All they knew was the bridegroom's coming. And all that are ready go out to meet the bridegroom. Amen. And they all trimmed the lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. We have no oil. And the wise said to the foolish, go buy for yourselves. Amen. Lest there be not enough for both. Amen. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went into the marriage supper. Come on here. Amen. And afterward the other foolish virgins came. Amen. And knocked on the door for entrance. Amen. And the bridegroom said, depart from me. I never knew you. I don't know who you are. Amen. Those that I know is on the inside. The door is shut. Nobody else can get in. Amen. But we, come on here. We were with them. Amen. Amen. While we were waiting, I know. Amen. But I didn't know you. Amen. I want to tell you, there's a church world in America today. Amen. They are numbered with church people, but they don't know him. They may be friends of the church. Amen. But they don't know the bridegroom. Amen. We've got to know the bridegroom. We got to know Christ. We've got to want him in our relationship with him, more than just a church membership, more than just going to church, more than just singing Amazing Grace. There's got to be a personal relationship. Amen. That when the bridegroom comes, we can go in with him. I got to hurry. In Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Amen. Those two chapters gives us 7 churches. All of those churches were in Asia Minor. Amen. Churches. All 7 of them. 5 of those God had something wrong in their life that he pointed out. 2 out of the 7 churches had a real relationship with Christ where he had no condemnation to those 2 churches. Amen. But I when you read on in the 17th chapter, when read in the 17th chapter, Revelation, amen, John talks about a great whore, amen, that deceives the nations of the world. John recognized, John the Revelator, he recognized that this great whore was a religious system or a religious church. In verse 6 of chapter 17, John said, when I saw her, that is the great whore, I wondered with great admiration. I wondered with great. I know that's the church world. I know that's a religious, come on here, that's a religious body. But I'm amazed, amen, that the change that has taken place. You see, John, great God, help me here. John remembered the church from the book of Acts. John remembered the church that had power with God. John remembered the church that was holy. John remembered that. When you read the book of Acts, amen, there was no foolishness in the book of Acts, church. Amen, it was God's church. Amen. And John said, when I saw her, the great whore, I recognized her as a religious body. Amen. But that's not the church that I remember. I remember the church is holy. I remember the church is full of power. I remember the church is anointed. I remember the church that was so separated. Amen. I remember the church when the Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with other tongues as the Spirit of God give utterance. Amen. This church that I see now is so different from what I knew. Amen. The book of Acts, I want to tell you, as I look around in our generation in American culture in 2014, I am shocked at some of the churches that I was raised in and say, how did they get this way? How did they get this far? Amen. I want to tell you, amen, John remembered the church in the book of Acts. Amen. Now look at it. Amen. God's looking for a holy church. God's looking for a righteous church. Somebody say amen. Ah, amen. John recognized that she was a religious body, but it was apostate church. Amen. That's not the way he remembered it. The book of Acts, the bride-to-be, he said, wow, what a change has taken place. Amen. When I knew the church, amen, I want to tell you, I'm looking for a holy church. I'm looking for a godly church. I'm looking for a church that's got a relationship with him, amen, that will not change, amen, because of the fads of the hour. Somebody say amen. Amen. So we y'all have to excuse me here. Amen. We have weddings in this church, and I love weddings. I'd rather perform a wedding than a funeral any day. Help me here. Amen. But I performed a lot of wedding ceremonies in this church. These days, the emphasis of a wedding ceremony is on the bride. She is the center of attraction. Come on, y'all stay with me here. Amen. I mean, every eye, when the bride comes through those doors, everybody stands in honor of the bride. She's beautiful. Amen. She's clothed in a white, amen, beautiful garment, bride dress. Amen. She's got a train. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Amen. She's got little children. Amen. That go before her. Amen. She's got attendants up here. Amen. And a preacher and the bridegroom and the best man and all the attendants. Amen. But the center of our time is on that bride. Our attention, we wait for the bride. But that's not always the way it was. Amen. In Bible days, they was waiting on the bridegroom. Amen. Thank God I'm waiting on the bridegroom. I'm part of the bride of Christ. Amen. He's clothed me in righteousness. He's clothed me in salvation. Amen. He's given me the new garments of praise. But glory to God, I think tonight, amen, again, we need to put the emphasis on the bridegroom. Amen. I know we are. I know who we are. I know we are the bride of Christ. Amen. But we need to give him the preeminence that he deserves. Give him honor. Amen. Matter of fact, Jesus is the last of seven people that were named before they were born. He's got a name. Amen. In Philippians chapter 2, in verse 9, 10, 11, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God. Amen. Amen. When I come to church, amen, I'm not singing about the bride. I'm singing about the bridegroom. I'm singing, he's coming soon.
Praise God. I'm looking for him. That's our theme. That's our hope. Amen. I want to give him the preeminence he deserves. Somebody say praise the Lord. Mark chapter 16 verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, amen, and sat on the right hand of God. Luke 22:69. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. James 1:3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, amen, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Praise God. In Colossians chapter 1, amen, read.
For by him were all things created.
Yes.
That are in heaven.
By who?
By him.
By who?
By God.
By Jesus. All right. Read.
For created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible.
Yes.
Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers.
Yes.
All these things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body,
yes,
the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence.
That he might have what?
The preeminence.
That he might have what?
The preeminence.
What?
Preeminence.
Preeminence. That means he is the highest one on the totem pole.
Right.
Amen. There's nobody that's any more important than Jesus Christ. Amen. We need to give him the honor. Give him the praise. Give him the glory.
Yeah.
Praise God. In the book of Revelation, amen, the number that no man could number, they were singing praises unto the Lord and to him that has redeemed us and washed us in his own precious blood. I want to tell you, amen, we ought to come to church for one reason. That's to worship him. To give him glory. Thank God. I'm glad. Come on, y'all stay with me. I'm glad for you folks that stand with us sometime when we preach. And lift your hands sometime when we preach. Amen. And stand when we're singing. But I want to tell you, you need to remember one thing. He is the head of the church. He is the great high priest. Amen. Come on here. He's the great shepherd. I am indeed the under shepherd, but I'm not the great shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He deserves our honor. Amen. He deserves our praise. And when we come in those church doors at night or in the Sunday morning, amen, it ought to come in with a amen praise on our lips and thanksgiving in our hearts, because we're redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. I gotta hurry. Mercy, you can come get ready to sing. Ephesians 1:22. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 28, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Amen. 1 Peter 3:22. Amen. Who is gone into the heavens and is on the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Praise God. Amen. But he didn't leave us out either. In Mark chapter 16, verse 17, it said, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. In whose name? His name. Amen. Not Savage's name, in his name. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. Amen. John 14:12. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Amen. Verse 13 said, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in me. Praise God. Amen. I want to tell you, amen, we need to realize in this 2014, the age of an apostate church world in American culture, we need to realize we need to honor him. Give him the praise. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. He is deserving of all of our attention. He is deserving of all of our praise. Amen. Ah, amen. He is the head of the church. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Everybody stand. You deserve better preaching than what you got tonight, but amen. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for Jesus that he is the head of the church. Amen. Come on, let's pray. Come around the altar. Amen. Let's call on the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's give him the praise because you're saved. Give him the honor because while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Glory be to his wonderful name. Sing, Marcia.